Did Nairo Quintana get a performance enhancement from tramadol? We get a hint at an answer with some new evidence that came out this week. Quintana was sanctioned by the UCI on August 17, 2022 and disqualified from the 2022 Tour de France after testing positive for tramadol on two occasions during the race. At first, this might seem like a doping case, as the UCI banned tramadol from competition use in March 2019. And up until September 23, 2022, it could be argued that no, it's not doping, all stemming from the type of ban UCI enforces. You see, the ban is aimed at preserving the rider's health and safety in light of the side effects of tramadol across all disciplines and categories. So they fall under the UCI's medical regulations. But ignoring all of this, the real question still comes back to this. Did Quintana get a performance enhancement from using tramadol? To answer this, let's rewind. It's September 23, 2022, and the World Anti-Doping Agency, or WADA, gathered in Australia to decide if tramadol should be banned and added to the list of banned substances for athletes in competition. The criteria for being banned is twofold. Number one, potentially harming athletes. Number two, enhancing performance. As I just mentioned, the UCI is already convinced that tramadol can harm athletes, stemming from a 2017 monitoring report from WADA that highlighted the prevalence of tramadol in professional cycling. It showed that between 71 and 82% of positive results for the painkiller came from cycling. It's been on the WADA monitored list since 2012, even though the moderate grade painkiller has been a topic of discussion for years. We've seen riders come out and talk about its use, being handed tramadol on team buses and included in finish bottle cocktails. At this meeting, WADA did decide to ban in-competition use of tramadol starting January 1st, 2024. So what changed their mind? We understand why when we read their press release, which said, "Research studies funded by WADA have also confirmed the potential for tramadol to enhance physical performance." So there is evidence now of tramadol being used as a performance enhancer. And it was only this week the data that finally changed WADA's mind has been published in the Journal of Applied Physiology. Alex Hutchinson reported the findings of this study in Outside Online. So while it might be unfair to have a go at Quintana for using tramadol in 2022, it's a lesson that come 2024, it will be an offence. And this evidence points to an enhancement. So he potentially got a benefit after all. How much? We'll get into that in a moment. That's on today's show. And 750B, yes, another new wheel size has been revealed, this time for gravel bikes, plus more controversy, team finances, and social media rounds. Hello, I'm Damien Roos, and welcome to Quick Spin Cycling Digest. If you're new here, we gather all the news and views from the net so you don't have to. Links in the show notes. And with that, let's get into it. Alexis Mauger from the University of Kent found that tramadol can enhance cycling performance. The study involved 27 well-trained cyclists who were given either 100 milligrams of tramadol or a placebo. The cyclists who took tramadol were on average 1.3% faster in a 25-mile time trial compared to those who took the placebo. However, there is ongoing debate among researchers about the mechanism behind tramadol's performance enhancement, as well as the relationship between pain perception and effort during endurance exercise. The confusing part is that tramadol appears to have no effect whatsoever on the pain experience during cycling, which is also why we thought riders were using it. It did significantly lower the perception of effort, which in turn improved performance. Mauger and his colleagues aren't sure how to explain this. This has left most people stumped, including Hutchinson, saying, "I'm not sure what to make of this finding, but it reaffirms my sense that we still have a lot to learn about how pain and effort and other related constructs like mental fatigue influence our performance." And I absolutely agree. I'm happy about the ban to clear up any grey areas with tramadol use, as well as making a safer peloton or safer pelotons everywhere around the world. But as the search for the fourth dimension of endurance exercise performance goes on, we are no closer to understanding how performance really works. Really? A new gravel bike size? After everyone's just updated their mountain bikes to 29 inches, 750D was found by Ben Delaney on a Moots bike with WTB wheels and tyres. Bigger than 700C, a 750D wheel isn't far off a 29er, and it seems to be an experiment by WTB, as they are the ones that made the rims and the tyres here. It will most likely have the same arguments as choosing 29er wheels over 26 or 27 and a half wheels on a mountain bike. That is rolling efficiency, stability, traction, and obstacle clearance. But I'm curious, have you been through this journey? Will you buy into this and change bikes? Do you need another wheel size? Let me know your thoughts in the comments. As reported by several news sites, Alan Davies, a member of Team Lotto Destiny cycling team, faced consequences for sending unwanted messages on Twitter. He was let go from his role as director sportif after an internal investigation into allegations of inappropriate behaviour. The incident became known when the woman who received the messages claimed that a team press kit officer asked her not to share her allegations publicly. Davis had been with the team since 2022 and worked closely with Caleb Ewan. The team's CEO emphasized their commitment to maintaining values and standards, focusing on a positive environment. This article popped up on my radar, and it's just in time for the final Grand Tour of the year, asking the question, is it time to swap the dates of the Giro and the Vuelta, making points for and against changing the dates of the Giro d'Italia and the Vuelta a España. Here's a breakdown of why it could be seen as a good idea and why it might not be ideal. In the good idea camp, we have weather. Shifting the Giro to a later date could potentially help the race avoid bad weather, 2023, that has historically disrupted the event. This could mean a smoother and more predictable race without last-minute route alterations. And finally here, aligning it more with Il Lombardia. It would give all riders a boost coming off the Giro with lots of fitness, ready to race the final race of the season. The potential challenges for a change like this. Changing the established racing calendar might face resistance because of history. Duh. A lot of riders, teams, and fans are accustomed to the current schedule, and altering it could disrupt their expectations and plans. Reshuffling the calendar also requires careful consideration of all the logistics around these races, so transport, accommodation, and race organization, and this just could mess everybody up. What do you think? Is the idea of changing the dates on the Giro and the Vuelta good? Does it balance out the potential negatives and positives, the weather and a strong finish or history? I'll admit it doesn't seem possible, but it is a fun thought experiment, and I really am interested in knowing what you think. Does it make sense to you? Now, the finances of Groupama FDJ. Let's take a closer look at how World Tour team Groupama FDJ manages its money. The Inner Ring blog took a look at how they use their budget, and it's like peeking behind the curtain to see how this team works, or any World Tour team, really. So the budget for 2021 was $20.1 million, and their detailed accounts provide insights into various expenses, sponsor contributions, staff distribution, and more. Sponsorship makes up the lion's share of the incomings. Groupama paid $9.55 million, and FDJ paid $7.6 million. Groupama's premium was due to its name being cited first. Bike sponsorship, Acel, the owner of Lamprey, paid $1.5 million for sponsorship, which must be the going rate for sponsorship in the World Tour. They also made money selling merchandise, not that much. The team earned $161,000 doing this, and they also have incomings from race organizers. The team received $536,000 from participation fees, $298,000 from prize money, and the prize money is shared amongst the staff, performance staff, riders, and office workers. Now the expenses, first up, the wage bill and the payroll taxes combined make up $15.3 million, accounting for 76% of the team's budget. This is pretty normal. Around 70-80% of a team's budget goes to this. But why so big? The team has 97 staff, including 38 riders across their World Tour and Conti development teams, and there's 59 remaining staff working in technical and admin roles. Also, the team purchased a truck and two team buses totaling 1.5 million euros. Hot damn, that is expensive. Finally, the team spent 22,000 on bike parts during the year, some of which were not sponsored, so custom 3D printed bars and unmarked parts added to the expenses. Greg Van Avermaet announces his last race as a professional on Instagram, saying, On Saturday, October 15, I will officially retire from pro racing in my hometown of Dendermonde. Sorry. He's going to make it a pretty big party with a bunch of the team, music, food trucks, and it sounds really fun. Sam Gaze, the MTB rider from New Zealand. Sam is going to the Welter, and after a stellar World Championships on the mountain bike, seriously, if you're not a fan of MTB, you still have to check out the XC race from the World Champs. And it's this race that gives me hopes that he gets some freedom to go after stages. Now, Robert Gesink, Mr. Misfortune Magnet himself, will also be on the start line of the Welter after being back home in the mountains with family. Well, this family, the real family, and that's it. That's our quick spin around the world of cycling. Ride well, and I'll catch you next time.